It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR. I'm your host, Marty Wegbright. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
What I will tell you is, with the internet payday loans, what we tell people typically is that you need to close your bank account and go to another bank or a credit union. And the reason for that is... in order to get that loan, you typically have given the internet lender access to your account. And the only way out of that loan is to stop them from getting access to your account. And these are illegal loans, so you actually don't have a legal obligation to repay it.
People feel like they have to give those. And if they don't, they're often ashamed about it, that they can't afford that. So they would choose to go into debt rather than make a hard decision to say no to those kinds of pressures.
Attorney Jay Spear at the Virginia Poverty Law Center and Margaret Gunther, a licensed professional counselor, describe the legal, mental, and emotional pressures and stresses of payday, car title, and other predatory loans, and why these loans become the gift that keeps on taking. And you'll learn about an important decision from the West Virginia courts clamping down on an internet payday lender who falsely claims Indian tribal immunity. All that and more, stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 149, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's news you can use. In a ruling that may have national implications, the Kanawha County, West Virginia Circuit Court recently entered an order finding that an internet payday lender claiming affiliation with a Native American Indian tribe is not immune from suit and must comply with the West Virginia Attorney General's investigative subpoena. The court also ordered the lender to cease making loans and engaging in collection activity until it does comply. The case began in early 2010 after complaints were received that West Virginia consumers had obtained payday loans over the internet from Payday Financial, doing business as Lakota Cash of Timberlake, South Dakota. The company is owned by Martin A. Webb, an enrolled member of the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe. Although Payday Financial is not an Indian tribe, it claimed tribal immunity because its sole owner is a tribal member. The company also asserted that it was entitled to tribal immunity because the loans made to West Virginia consumers were accepted and entered into on the reservation in South Dakota. In rejecting Payday Financial's claim of tribal immunity, the West Virginia court found that Payday Financial was organized under the laws of South Dakota, not tribal laws, and was owned and controlled by Webb individually. The court also noted that Payday Financial failed to provide any evidence that it operated for the benefit of the tribe, as opposed to Webb's individual benefit and profit. In addition, the court held that the loans were made and were to be performed in West Virginia and not on the reservation in South Dakota, as alleged by Payday Financial. Several other states, including Maryland, Colorado, and Missouri, have brought enforcement actions against Payday Financial because of its internet payday lending activities in their states. In each case, Payday Financial asserted tribal immunity and resisted state regulation of its lending activities. To date, no final orders have been issued in those enforcement actions. Attorneys general nationwide are becoming increasingly concerned with internet payday lenders' routine claims of being affiliated with Indian tribes in an effort to evade state laws intended to protect consumers from predatory lending. As a result, the West Virginia court's ruling is welcome news to those states who are combating questionable claims of tribal immunity that are increasingly being made by internet payday lenders. With this week's News You Can Use, this is your host, Marty Wigbright. You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's case that changed the Commonwealth is Winborn versus Virginia Lottery. Virginia Lottery patrons who use wheelchairs claim that certain lottery retailers lacked accessible parking spaces, ramps, and paths of travel for them, such that they were denied access. They sought a declaration that the lottery program was within the protections of the Virginians with Disabilities Act and the Americans with Disabilities Act. The Circuit Court denied relief, but the Supreme Court of Virginia reversed. The appellate court held that the lottery offered a program, service, or activity within the meaning of the laws and was subject to their requirements. Although the Virginia Lottery was not responsible for the violations of the lottery retailers concerning their individual retail sites, it was responsible for its own violations in failing to provide access to disabled persons. This has been the law ever since. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Diane Dussault, and Winborn versus Virginia Lottery is this week's case that changed the Commonwealth.
You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. We're here at the law offices of the Virginia Poverty Law Center, and we're speaking with the Executive Director, Jay Spear, and we're going to be talking about predatory lending around the holidays. Now, Jay, I understand that Christmas time is the second biggest time of year for predatory lending. Would you tell us first what predatory lending is in this context and why it's so big this time of year?
By predatory lending, we mean lending at a very, very high cost, typically around 200 or 300% interest, if you can believe it. And also, it's lending not at all based upon whether a person can pay back the loan, but just how much money the lender can suck out of the borrower. The reason it's big at Christmas time is because a lot of the folks that get trapped by predatory loans are folks who do not have that much discretionary income, usually somebody who's barely has enough income to pay their bills as it is. And then Christmas time comes along and they want to buy a present for someone. It's often a family member or a grandchild or something like that. And so the predatory lenders know that they can get a lot of people to spend money they don't have.
And can you tell us specifically what type of predatory loans are out there that people need to be aware of?
Well, Virginia, unfortunately, there are several opportunities for folks to get caught up in predatory loans. We actually have a 12% statewide usury cap, but unfortunately, over the last several years, the General Assembly has passed several laws giving lots of people exemptions. And the biggest predatory lenders right now in Virginia are, first of all, the payday lenders. Now, that has fallen off a lot. There's not so much payday loan going on in stores in Virginia. In other words, places you can walk into. But there's a lot of payday lending, unfortunately, going on the internet. And a lot of people are caught up in those loans, which is illegal in Virginia. But unfortunately, no one is doing anything to enforce the law. So there's a lot of that going on. There's also a fair amount of payday lenders who used to have storefronts that don't like the laws that were passed a couple years ago and have shifted to something called open-end lending or line-of-credit lending. That's also usually around 300%. And on the internet, by the way, it's usually as much as 500%, even 1,000%. And then the other one is the car title loans, which is where you get a loan on the title to your car, and if you don't pay it back, they take your car.
Now, if someone gets trapped in one of these predatory loans, whether it is a traditional payday loan where you write a check and it's held, or one of these open-ended lines of credit or an internet payday loan where they may be tapping into your bank account or a car title loan where they've actually got your car title, how do you, as a borrower who's been trapped in one of these loans, get out of it?
We offer a free hotline for people to call that are in trouble with a predatory loan, and the number is 1-866-830-4501. If you call that number, we will give you some free advice about how to get out of one of these loans. But what I will tell you is with the internet payday loans, what we tell people typically is that you need to close your bank account and go to another bank or a credit union. And the reason for that is in order to get that loan, you typically have given the internet lender access to your account. And the only way out of that loan is to stop them from getting access to your account. And these are illegal loans, so you actually don't have a legal obligation to repay it. With the storefront payday loans, we again typically tell folks to close their bank account. And even though those are legal loans, you can usually negotiate some way to get out of it, but you've always got to stop them from getting access to your account. The car title loans are more difficult to get out of because they've got a lien on your car. And you should probably call our hotline because sometimes there are legal ways to get out of it, sometimes there are not. But you need to know your rights, and you need to be very careful that you don't lose your car, because for a lot of people that's very serious. It could be a loss of their job as well.
And what about those open-end lines of credit? What should people be doing about those?
Well, there's actually the same sort of advice. They typically also have gotten access to your bank account, and you need to shut that off first. So again, you need to close that account, and you usually have to, unfortunately, you have to go to another bank usually, because even though there is a process where you can stop payment or you can open another account at the bank, we have found many, many times that does not work. And so you really, unfortunately, have to go to another bank or a credit union. Again, you need to call us probably, because there might be a legal way you can get out of that line of credit loan, but you're not going to know unless you find out what your rights are. But in any event, I always tell folks to close the account, because that takes their control over you away.
And what you're advising people to do, closing the account when you've got one of these predatory loans, I gather that is a perfectly legal thing to do. Folks need not fear any type of either criminal prosecution or even civil charge being brought against them.
That's absolutely right, and that's a good, very good point to make, because these lenders, particularly the internet lenders, will often threaten you with criminal prosecution, with fraud, all sorts of stuff, but that's nothing but a lie. They cannot do that. And in fact, some of these lenders, the payday lenders, for example, if they threaten criminal prosecution, you can go back and sue them. But no, you have every right to do that, and it's not fraud, it's not a criminal problem at all. But be aware, they probably will threaten you with that.
And I've heard of people taking out predatory loans and writing a check, particularly payday loans, and later being threatened with bad check charges. Have you heard that? And if so, what should people do when they hear that awful phrase, "We're going to prosecute you for a bad check"?
Again, that is a lie. They cannot do that. In fact, in Virginia's law specifically says that this is okay to do these checks. Again, call our hotline, because we can probably help you with that. And that's a serious matter when they threaten you with something that they're not allowed to do. One other thing I might add about the internet payday loans is they are particularly dangerous, because whenever you even apply for a payday loan on the internet, you are sending your information, typically your social security number, often your bank account number, out over the internet, which is then dispersed to many, many different entities. You may think you're only applying for one place, but they often are sending your information to as many as a dozen other places, some of whom may well be criminals. We hear lots about people who 2-3 years later are getting calls from scam artists or even criminals trying to threaten them. So internet loans are particularly a very, very bad idea.
Okay, Jay, so here we are. It's 11 shopping days, counting today, before Christmas. And if people do want to get something special for their friends or family, and they shouldn't go to predatory lenders, what are the alternatives? What do you suggest?
I think people need to think long and hard about whether they actually have to spend money for Christmas. There are lots of gifts that people give that don't cost anything, maybe something you make yourself, or at least low cost, something you make yourself. I've heard many times people offer you know, whatever it might be, some sort of service that you could give someone, babysitting or whatever it might be, that doesn't cost you anything except, of course, your time. But people really need to think hard about whether they actually have to go out and spend a lot of money for Christmas. And I think it's particularly a bad idea to spend money you don't have. You're going to end up, maybe you make somebody happy for a few minutes, but you're going to end up being very sorry when you have to pay that loan back over the next 6 or 7 months and get in all sorts of trouble over it.
And of course, that's why we call predatory lending the gift that keeps on taking. Would you tell our listeners once again the toll-free number that people can call at the Virginia Poverty Law Center, the predatory loan hotline, in case they do need some legal advice on a predatory loan and how to get out of it?
The number to call is 1-866-830-4501. Feel free to call that number, even if you're not sure whether you should call or not. We're happy to talk with you.
Thank you very much. We have been speaking with Jay Spear. He is the executive director of the Virginia Poverty Law Center, and we have been talking about predatory lending, the gift that keeps on taking. Thank you so much, Jay.
You're welcome.
Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. We've been speaking with Jay Spear, the executive director of the Virginia Poverty Law Center, about the legal stresses and pressures brought on by holiday overspending in general and predatory lending in particular. We're now talking with Margaret Gunther. She is a local licensed professional counselor in the near west end of Henrico County, and we're going to be talking about the mental health and emotional pressures and stresses that are brought on by those same things. Welcome to the show, Margaret.
Hello, thank you.
Would you tell our listeners briefly what you do and the types of problems that you see at this time of year, 11 shopping days before Christmas, due to holiday overspending?
I am a counselor in private practice, and what I see people coming in with at this time of the year is a lot of stress, a lot of feeling overwhelmed by the stress of this holiday season. And much of that stress can be seen in terms of depression and anxiety that people are coming in with.
And why are they coming in with those problems?
They're coming in because they are feeling pressure. A lot of that is external pressure to meet the needs of not only their families, but also they're being bombarded with advertisements, with the media, with our culture that is telling us that this is the time when giving to others is required and expected. And many people feel that they must meet those expectations of others. They're also people who feel very generous and want to give, and they're giving out of that sense of desire to be a good person. They feel feelings of guilt if they do not give the things that they feel like their family, their friends are expecting them to give. These days, those purchases are often very large purchases. We're now into things like electronics and those kinds of things. Children are wanting those things, and people feel like they have to give those. And if they don't, they're often ashamed about it, that they can't afford that. So they would choose to go into debt rather than make a hard decision to say no to those kinds of pressures.
And why is it a hard decision to say no to those type of pressures? I mean, we all know we live in a very materialistic, very consumer-oriented society, but yet there are certain values, virtues like thrift, and you don't spend money that you don't have, and, you know, it's a common in the culture that those December bills become the January, February headaches. We all know that, or at least we should be in the back of people's minds. Why does it stay in the back of people's mind? Why do people succumb to those pressures?
Well, I think that even though people may know that, there is an emotional component to this, and this is a very emotional time of the year, that we're often making these decisions on emotion rather than on what we know to be the right thing to do, that we use the emotional sense of what is right or wrong to be our decision-making tool rather than this is going to put me over the top in terms of debt and then I'm going to be paying on these things for the next year or longer, or that I may never get out of debt because each Christmas comes around and I keep putting myself more and more into that place of debt. So I'm making this decision more out of an emotional place. Again, going back to those feelings of shame, guilt, and sometimes fear. Fear that if I don't do the what's expected or required by society or by my family, they won't like me or I won't be seen as a good person.
And yet we know that certainly from a legal standpoint, from a financial standpoint, certainly from an emotional or mental health standpoint, it's generally not good to give in to those pressures to spend money we don't have, to get into debt that's going to be difficult, if not impossible, to get out of. So what do you, as a professional counselor, suggest to people to try to break out of that trap?
Well, usually we talk about the difference between thinking and feeling and looking at things from a more realistic standpoint and looking at what it feels like to be in debt, as well as what it feels like to have people not appreciate what you've done in the holidays, and weighing those two things out in a more realistic way. What is the real factor here instead of what is the emotional factor? Also looking at how do we make decisions around spending? What are our values? And people often don't have a value related to saving money. They do have a sense more of, I want things now, and I'd rather put myself in debt and have those things than not.
So what do you recommend for people? What are the alternatives to giving in to the consumerism, the materialism, the overspending, which so often results in the stresses and pressures of an unmanageable debt load?
I think that we can begin to change the way we look at giving, that there are other ways than financial ways of giving. It's also looking at what our value system is and what we want to teach our children. If what we're teaching children nowadays is that it's more important to get than to give, then that's a value that we're teaching. So one of the things that can happen at Christmas is to reevaluate our values and to start teaching children from an earlier age that giving is an important aspect of Christmas, and that that can be done in lots of different ways. It doesn't have to be materialistic. It can be in service. It can be in many other different ways.
Thank you very much. We have been talking with Margaret Gunther. She is a local licensed professional counselor here in the near west end of Henrico County. We've been talking about the mental health and emotional pressures and stresses brought on by Christmas overspending and what the alternatives are to combating that. Thank you so much for being on the show.
You're welcome.
Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's Strange But True Law is from Title 36, which deals with housing. You would expect that a title dealing with housing would have a uniform statewide building code, and Virginia does. But did you know that when you ride the Anaconda or the Rebel, you're covered by that building code? Code of Virginia Section 36-98.3 applies to amusement devices defined as a device or structure open to the public by which persons are conveyed or moved in an unusual manner for diversion, and to the extent that they are not superseded by this section and its regulation. The provision of the Uniform Statewide Building Code shall apply to amusement devices. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Michelle King, and that's this week's Strange But True Law.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. If you have any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. In addition, every first-run Central Virginia Legal Aid radio show ever broadcast is now available at www.radioforall.net. That's radio, the numeral for, all.net. Then click the contributor link, then click Marty Wegbright, Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. The minimum wage of $7.25 per hour applies to most employees, even if part of your pay comes from tips. Join us next week when private attorney Joanna Suez from the law firm of Marks & Harrison explains the Fair Labor Standards Act and how its minimum wage and overtime provisions apply to tipped employees. That's Law for the Rest of Us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wegbright.